Yesterday I was mentioning about being present with feelings and trying to understand the other partner to make a change. And I'll continue with you about creating an atmosphere of change. Creating an atmosphere of change. It doesn't need a lot of 1, 2, 3. So I would take some examples from the Bible, and you can get out of that the atmosphere of change that happened actually. So the first example I would mention, it's a story that happened to St. Paul. They were having a boat and close to Malta. The boat was broken and everybody just was there, was facing death. And finally, they were able to come to the shore. That's great. Everybody was exhausted. Everybody was tired. And the people of Malta, that they came to rescue these people, and they started to gather some wood to put fire, just to warm up. It's an atmosphere at that time, an atmosphere of risking somewhat. A group of people that they were desperate. They faced life and death. And the people of Malta was just seeing that these people had been in a very dangerous situation, so they felt pity on them. That's great. It's a great feeling. It's a great atmosphere. And while they are collecting wood, St. Paul, as a member of those people who were with the same situation, he is not seen as St. Paul. He is seen as Paul. He's seen there as one of these people that they were facing death. And what happened then? He was collecting with them, sharing with everyone, collecting wood, putting it into the fire. Just putting the wood in the fire, there was a big snake that came out of the fire. Of course, it's a snake with the wood, and then when it's getting warm there, so the snake jumps out of the fire, and where it gets into the hand of St. Paul. And this moment, it's an atmosphere of judgment. It's everyone there was saying, see the justice, see the condemnation of God. Even this man, he was saved, he was rescued from the sea, but yet death would always follow him because he was wrong. Maybe this man had done something really bad in his life, so the justice didn't leave him. Even he was rescued from the sea, then he will be killed by the snake. So here you see life and death situations create a feeling, create a thought of the judgment of God, create a thought of justice, create a thought of heaven. Then it's a feeling, it's an atmosphere here. But very soon, when this man who was judged by everyone behaved in calm way, he was not afraid. He dealt with the situation with the stability of a person that he had an experience. He's a man of God who has experience. So building an experience with God, a spiritual experience, a man that he was able to put the snake away and sit in peace. Everybody was waiting that this will happen. And when they saw this, they have changed. They took him and they wanted to make him like a god. this is the moment that everybody would listen to St. Paul. And very easy situation that St. Paul was preaching to Malta. And it was very easy situation. But the story doesn't start with what he said. The story started with his behavior, his calmness, his faith, his security, his relationship with God. It came out of an experience that he had before. So people would see, how do you behave before you talk? People would see you in a very bad situations in your life. And how are you going to interact with this? And this is an atmosphere that we are able to create. God sometimes puts us in a very hard situations. And I see a lot of people, I would not call them here missionaries, but I would call them God's people. Wherever they are, in the situation, where they in the moment, where in the moment, they will extend the message of God just by normal behavior. And that's why I feel like it's very hard for people just to call themselves missionaries. I never called myself a missionary in any moment in my life. You can't label yourself, actually. And it's very dangerous to label yourself. You go walking in life and you have a label and say, a missionary. And I remember a few years ago, I was talking with some of the expats that they came with their passports written, missionaries. Yes, and I was telling them, you need to change that. You need not to label yourself that you are a missionary. What are you doing as a missionary? A missionary is a person, like a normal person. St. Paul was a very normal person. He was a tent maker. He was living his life as a normal person who was sharing everything with people. He went and gathered wood with the rest of the people. And this is what you need to do, actually. Go out, collect wood for the fire with everyone. Put the fire with everyone. You can't stand there and I say, I'm a missionary and I want to preach Christ. You would never do that. You would not be able to extend Christ unless you go with everyone and gather the wood for the fire. Feel the cold that everybody would feel. It's cold. Feel it. You can't be in a warm place. You can't sit in the Christian sofa and then preach the gospel. And this is an important thing. The atmosphere that St. Paul created around him by sharing, by extending his experience, by extending his faith, was a moment that he just quietly extended the message of Christ for everyone. So this is a story I would just like to put it for you. Another atmosphere of change, also it came out of life and death. Normally, people would feel very close, as Avona was saying now, it's very close when they are very close to life and death. It is. But we face that every day. But a story here I would love to put. It's Daniel. It's also, it's very strange if you can imagine, if you're talking about missionaries, then if I now come to you and I say, can we change the whole Middle East? The whole Middle East, from Afghanistan to Morocco, north from Azerbaijan or Turkey, down south to even half of Africa. Can you change that whole area and make them praise the Lord? Does it cross to your mind? Does it come and cross this mind and say, this is possible? Can one person do that? It's a simple answer. People would say no. Right? I could see that in your eyes, even if you don't see it. If you don't say it. But I could see it in your eyes. It's not logic. But here, it's a story that is very similar to the situation where we are. But someone, he didn't have in mind that I want to preach to the people, but he did. The story of Daniel was a very, very important story in the life of a missionary, without labeling himself a missionary. You don't label yourself. But here, this is a man that his situation was put together for a reason. He was moved from his own homeland, not by his will, but he was forced. He was taken from his homeland. He was forced to leave. He was a prisoner, a hostage, and he had been taken away. But he carried with him his God, carried with him an experience, carried with him his own being. And as he's moving from one place to another, very fast he became a very successful person. And the empire of Persia, that was at that time a very big, the biggest empire. At that time, Persia was the superpower of the world, that all the nations around it were very afraid of them, and it very much extended in different nations, in different languages, in different ethnic groups. So at that time, it was from Afghanistan all the way carrying the Middle East, even to Egypt. It was the time that this big empire, and the emperor here was thinking that he needs to make an organization, an administration that he can reach out for. So he divided his empire into 120 states, even bigger than the United States now. So 120 states, and he put one person over each state. And then he said to himself, okay, it's too much to deal with 120, then I want to deal with three persons. One of the three was Daniel, a stranger, a young man, and because he was so loved, the king said, I wanted Daniel to be over the 122. So he put Daniel on top of the three as well. And here, preparing for something, preparing an atmosphere, creating an atmosphere, God is preparing an atmosphere for someone. But this one has to see what his role should be. Should I, in this position, I will go and preach the word of God to everyone. Imagine if Daniel would have done that. What would happen? No one would change. No change would have happened. But here, there is an important change that the Lord is preparing. And the change here, that the evil force, the evil power, will go hard, harsh, against the man of God. But the man of God would be able to carry his experience, to carry his faith, and gradually walk together with his faith even to death. It's a choice. It's a choice when everyone goes against you, and you declare the word of God. It's a choice how to extend it without fear. This is a choice. I could see a lot of people who are holding an important position. They are not able to say the word of truth, the word of justice. They are afraid. And the fear here is an atmosphere that you are extending. And trust is another atmosphere that you are extending. And here, what kind of choices? Daniel made an atmosphere of trust around himself and around the people around him. He heard the law that the king made. No one should ask any request or prayer for a god or a human being except to the king. And what are you going to do if you are the second man? You heard the law. You know the law. And you know the penalty is death. You know that you will be put to the lions to eat you. What are you going to do? People will sometimes will say, we have to be wise and hide. And some people will be so aggressive and say, we need to go against the king. But Daniel didn't do neither of this. Daniel did something very important. He's a man who has experienced God's power, God's wisdom, God's love in his life. Then he was not afraid. He was not afraid. And he went normal as every day, and he opened the windows of his place and he prayed as normal. And this is an atmosphere. It's a passive protest. It's a passive declaration of your own faith without fear. And this is a strength. The people of God are not aggressive, are not violent, but they are not weak at the same time. The people of God, they can declare their faith without violence, without hurting the other people. He never said to the king, you're wrong. But he did what he should do without fear. And this is by itself. It's an atmosphere that you are creating around you. As a result of this atmosphere, the evil power will go farther more, and then the penalty will be there. And I think the great courage, the brave Daniel, was walking to the lion den, the lion den is very peacefully. And I feel like here, this is a man that he will walk in danger, but in a peaceful way. And it's an atmosphere that you create. It's the same like the Paul when he just took the snake. It's the same like you walk there and you have a clear conscience that you are able, you trust in God, you trust in the power of God in your life. You don't have to go that far like Daniel. No one will put you to death just because you are praying or you are behaving or creating an atmosphere. But people could just judge you. People could create talks. People could create hardship for you. But then, the atmosphere that you need to create is the atmosphere of stability. You are a stable person. You are very clear in your choices. You know what makes the Christian are not able to be witness? They are hesitant in what they are doing. They are not clear. They can sometimes have double standards. Sometimes they are very much like the Pharisees. And this is something that hurts. It hurts because you're not clear. You're not having one color. Whatever this color would be looked at from the others, but it's a clear color. It's a clear example. And this is what the people need to know. And this is an atmosphere that you create. It ended up, yes, he was judged to go to death. But here, after he faced this judgment, the king still had something to think of. Why this Daniel did that? He could have enjoyed this place, this position. And then he went very early in the morning. He wanted to see what the lions did to Daniel. So he opened the door and he's calling him, "Daniel! Daniel, are you still alive?" And the great experience that the king would never forget, when this Daniel will call him, "Live you, king, my lord," sent his angels. He never forget to give also the honor to this king, but he praised his lord, "My lord sent his angels." And this is an important message. It's an atmosphere that you are respecting people, but at the same time you're declaring your faith. It's an atmosphere. And the end result of this story, the king went back, and the law that he made, he once said that this law no one can erase. He himself erased it. And another law was put. Let every person, let every nation in his empire, let every tongue in his empire, let every race in his empire would worship, would praise the Lord of Daniel. This is an atmosphere you create. Daniel didn't preach. Daniel didn't push. Daniel didn't say to the king anything. But Daniel has an atmosphere around him, and you create it. You know, psychologically, I was reading something really funny about tiger hunters. You know, the tiger hunters were very they stare at the tiger. They stare and they just have an eye contact with the tiger, and they stare at them. But they have a very strong eye. They have a very strong look. "I am powerful and much more powerful than you." It's an atmosphere. And what happens? That the tiger gets afraid. So they could catch them. It's very easy. And when I read that, I was really astonished. But this is what happens, actually. If you create an atmosphere of love, if you create an atmosphere of strength, if you create an atmosphere of spirituality, if you create an atmosphere of joy around you, you are able to extend the message of Christ wherever you are, to whosoever people. It's an atmosphere. How are you creating this atmosphere? This is an important thing. What's inside you, it will go out. Medically, of course, an atmosphere goes from the feelings. Even if you are walking, imagine you're walking in a street and then some dogs will come. Of course, maybe you don't experience that. But still, you meet a dog, for example. If you are afraid, then you create inside you some adrenaline, and then this adrenaline will just show in your it's an atmosphere that you extend, and the dog will be really afraid and he will just start to attack you. But if you are peaceful, if you feel secured, rested, and you smile to the dog, and you have you extend love, you extend joy, then you find that this dog starts to play with his tail, and I just sit down, and this is actually, it's a reality. Most of the missionaries, they don't call themselves missionaries, but they walk with an atmosphere of love. They go with an atmosphere of trust, and when the people around them, they see the faith, not listen to the faith, they see the faith, then they would start to ask you. Yesterday I was talking with you about creating an atmosphere of manipulate the curiosity to let people ask you questions. And when people will see this faith, they will start to ask you, why? What's happening? Why you're not afraid? Why you're not worried? Why you're not angry? And then here is a door that it will be open for you to start to talk. And here, I want to tell you, this is an important message for all those people. This is an altar. It's like an altar. And this altar is like a message. And a missionary without an altar is nothing. And the altar here is something very important. And I want you to come with me to Abraham and let us walk with him. He's a great missionary, by the way. Even he didn't preach. Did you have any sermon from Abraham before the patriarch? We don't have any sermons. We can talk about sermons. We are telling you lots of sermons now. And maybe we are not able to change any of you. I don't know. Maybe Abuna Dawood will be able to change, but I didn't. I was not able to change a person. But I tell you, when I look to Abraham, he didn't preach, but he did an atmosphere around him. And this atmosphere, let's walk together and go with him, walk on the footsteps of Abraham, and let us build an altar. And this altar, he was able to stand there. I don't know how much of tears he was giving at this time, how much of feelings to his son, that he is the son of the promising. He's the son that he was waiting for. But this is an atmosphere of faith and trust. And where he is lifting his son and putting his son on the altar, what kind of feelings to this man? Sometimes I feel like from the awesome moment, I feel that my legs cannot carry me, and I want to fall down because of the greatness of the story. But it's an atmosphere that he left for us. He did that, and he was a great missionary. But now, are you able to take the same steps and put the altar there? I tell you, with every person you meet, every person you meet in your life, you prepare an altar between you and this person. Even if you can't prepare the altar, the Lord will prepare the altar for you. And here, what are you going to present? What kind of atmosphere that you have around this altar? If it's an atmosphere of lifting up this person, then you are presenting Christ to this person. if an atmosphere of consuming this person come, they would never come. We are not supposed to stand up on a pulpit and tell people come. We are supposed to come down and go to the people wherever they are and create an altar, and then on this altar we are supposed to lift them up. And when you are lifting them up, you are creating an atmosphere of change around these people. Another altar David did, there was an atmosphere of defeat. An atmosphere of defeat. An atmosphere of people who are feeling like that nothing would work. It's despair. And this young man who would go to this place and see this atmosphere, what? Who can change it? Who can change an atmosphere of defeat and despair to a change? To make a change. And who would think what kind of a change that could happen? It's only one person who can make a change. But he did not make the change unless he created an atmosphere around him of trust, that I will go with the name of the Lord. And with this one person, with this one man, made a change. You can be the person who can make a change around you if you create an atmosphere of trust. He trusts in the name of the Lord, and he defeated Goliath. And one person, when he made this change, the whole troops starts to be encouraged. You can encourage people. You are not able to change them, but you can change the atmosphere around them. And when they see the atmosphere has been changed, they will be encouraged and they will make a change in their life. And this is what I want to tell you. Create an atmosphere around you, and this atmosphere will encourage people to come to Christ. But if you create an atmosphere around you of big holiness, I'm sorry to say this, I'm not criticizing the holiness, but I'm saying that sometimes you are making it too much for people with having lots of ideal labels. You yourself, you're not doing it, and then make people look at you that you are the most wonderful person over there, and then they look at you and you are so far away from them, and then they would not come. Here you're talking about things that is too far away from me, and then people will go away. You have to be human. You have to be human when you're talking to people, because they are human beings. And that means that you need to share their feelings and create an atmosphere around you that you are a human being exactly like them. And you can share with them your mistakes, your defeats, your weakness. Then they would understand that you are a human being like them, and they could go with you, they could follow you. Not just telling them, you have to do this and you have to do that. You come to Christ and you will find this. Tell them about your feelings. Tell them about your humanity. Tell them about your joy. Tell them about your own stories. Your own feelings would make the people come to Christ. Don't take this big high tower and tell people, I am perfect and I am holy. Then they would see all this big halo around you, and they would say, yes, you're good, but not for me. Jesus didn't do that with us. Jesus himself, the most holy, the most high, the perfect He came down to us and He extended His emotions, and He cried with Martha and Mary. He showed how much He was troubled by the death of Lazarus. He showed His worries, and He showed that He's hungry, and He showed His tiredness. He extended to the people, so people felt like we can come close to Him, we can cry with Him, and we can laugh with Him. He went to the people in Galilee, in Cana, and He shared with them a glass of wine. He shared with the joy of people, and He shared the weaknesses of them, not putting Himself on top, but He shared it with us. And this is an atmosphere that He's creating around Him for people to come close to Him. If you are seeing someone that He's putting Himself very high up, you feel that when you are going in there, you have one leg in and one leg out. You want to see what kind of things you should do and what kind of things you should not do. Your mind, the whole mindset will come to the law. Should I do that? Should I not do that? And the law is not able to extend the love of God. And to come to Christ, you need to feel the love of God. And I will tell you here, the first chapter of St. John, he's talking of the Gospel of St. John, he's talking about the law and the grace. By Moses, the law was given. But in Christ, not through Christ, in Christ, in Him, it was the grace and the truth. So you need to feel in you that Christ incarnates in you. And when these feelings would come, that in you there is grace, there is truth, there is love, and this would make people would come to you and say, I want to come and talk with you. I want to see this this grace that's in you. Why are you doing this? Why are you smiling? Why your eyes are shining? Why you are? And I think, if I were to imagine one thing, I want to imagine St. Peter, he's talking to the people at the day of the Pentecost. I want to see his eyes. I want to see his face. I could listen to his sermon and I would not change. If I read his sermon, I think I read a lot of these sermons. It's even much more in details than this very small sermon that he did, half a chapter. And I could read it in 5 minutes and not change what happened to me. But I want to see his eyes. I want to see his smile. I want to see his shining face. And this would make the change. It's an atmosphere. And the atmosphere around you will make a change in the atmosphere around the people, and then they will be challenged inside them to make a change in their life, and your vision, your image will stay there in their mind. They would never forget it. They may forget your words, but they would never forget your face. And they may forget your face, but they would not forget the feelings. And they may not forget the feelings, but they will have the change in their own being. And this is what I can say, presenting the image of Christ in the people. May the Lord bless you. Glory be to God.
Yani, I was moved by the lecture of Sayyidina and the Thomas, creating the atmosphere of love and faith around us. But I remembered in the story of Daniel something maybe trivial for many of us, but something I want every one of you to remember. You know, when Daniel was in the lion's den, what happened to him? He spent the night there. Of course, there was no dinner. But the Lord did not forget that Daniel missed his dinner. So what the Lord did do? He went and asked among the prophets, who is cooking? And he found Habakkuk is cooking meat. And the Lord would not take Daniel from the lion's den to Habakkuk to have his dinner and bring him back to the lion's den. No. He takes Habakkuk to the lion's den with the source of meat for Daniel to take his dinner. Anyway, يعني, can you imagine بقى, Habakkuk is going up وبعدين نازل كده في the lion's den and he is saying what's going on, where am I going? وبعدين he finds Daniel among the lions and they sit together to have dinner. Maybe I feel that Daniel مثلا took some of the meat, invited the lions, can you please have a bit, you can't eat me, take nothing, one piece for you. But the lions say, no, this is not our dinner, it's yours. Can you see the reward of God? Can you see the care of God? Can you see the love of God for those who have been honest to Him and for those who have been really witnessing to Him in the most difficult times? That's all.
سؤال سيدنا جاي بيقول, هل الخطة اني اترك عملي واسافر اخدم في الخارج, ولا انا متعلق بالحياة العائلية والاصدقاء في مصر وخايف من تركهم, هل هذا خطأ؟ هل ممكن دوري يبقى مؤثر وانا في مصر؟
افتكر يعني انه الخادم او الكارز بيخدم وبيكرز اينما وجد في مكانه, يعني وانت في مكانك وانت ماشي في سكتك الطبيعية جدا بتقابل ناس انت بتقدم لهم المسيح, فانت مش محتاج انك تغير حياتك كلها, مش محتاج تسيب بيتك وولادك وشغلك, ده يمكن شغلك ده فرصة كويسة انك تخدم من خلال شغلك اللي يخليك تسيب الدنيا. يعني في ناس ربنا اداهم انهم يسيبوا حاجات علشان يروحوا اماكن مختلفة, وفي ناس خدموا من خلال الناس الشغل بتاعه ومكانه. اللي ما يقدرش يخدم في مكانه مش هيقدر يخدم لو مشي من مكانه. هي دي اسلوب حياة. يا اما اسلوب حياتي وانا في موقعي وانا بتدرب في حياتي الطبيعية ان انا بقدم المسيح لكل من اراه, كل واحد, كل الناس. اذا ما عرفتش انا المسيح لاهل بيتي فهعرف اقدمه للغريب ازاي؟ ما انا ما اتدربتش اقدم المسيح, فانا لازم اتدرب من جوايا ان انا اقدم المسيح للناس اللي حواليا. بعد كده بيحصل نمو, كل واحد ربنا بيرتب له خدمة معينة, بس الاساس فيها ان كلنا مطالبين ان انا اكون بقدم المسيح لكل حد. انا بمثلها بايه؟ بشوف انه زي الخلية اللي في الجسم. الخلية دي فيها حاجة مهمة جدا, اينما وجدت الخلية سواء في الشعر ولا في العينين ولا في القلب ولا في العظم, حتى لو اشكالهم مختلفة, بس في دي ان ايه واحد. فالدي ان ايه ده هو المسيح. أينما وجدت كخلية، سواء خلية مخ ولا عظمة ولا معدة ولا شعراية ولا دم، أشكال مختلفة، بس أنا فيا الدي إن إيه بتاع المسيح. ولما هروح في أي مكان أنا اللي بعبر عنه الدي إن إيه بتاع المسيح، وبالتالي أينما وجدت. فاللي مش عارف أعبر عنه في مكان، مش عارف أعبر عنه في مكان آخر.
أنا برضه عاوز أأكد اللي قاله سيدنا، عارفين اللي يعني علمونا كده، سيدنا علمنا إنه لما بنلاقي واحد متردد مثلا في الرهبنة بنقول له لا ما تنفعش ما تروحش، طالما لسه في تردد يبقى ما ينفعش ياخد الخطوة الكبيرة. يعني لو واحد لسه خايف وقلقان ومتردد يسافر يبقى لسه مش دعوته أو لسه مش وقته، لازم يبقى يعني دعوة لا تقاوم، يعني يبقى عنده ضغط داخلي مش قادر يقول لا. ساعتها هنا يبقى فعلا بقى it's time، يعني يعني ساعات الدعوة تبقى جات بس ايه هو نفسه مش قدها لسه، مش mature enough انه ياخد الخطوة دي. فكويس يفضل يخدم برضه وينمو في خدمته لغاية ما توصل لمرحلة لا لازم اسيب كل حاجة بقى. فاحيانا تبقى ايه ساعات تبقى gradual، يعني اظن كده ساعات تاخد فترة يعني لما الواحد يستوي.